Happy Tuesday, everyone. This is Zach Gunter here with Reality Check. Today, we're gonna continue on with the climate group. Of course, this is only two episodes because next week we're going to be starting the election season group, but it's still something important. So sit back and relax. I hope you enjoy this episode. Our climate is changing around us faster than predicted. From more frequent and extreme storms to unprecedented heat waves, we're feeling the impacts of human-caused global warming. But we still have time to change course. We can avoid the more dire impacts of climate change by limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, according to a report by the United Nations. The world is already at 1 degree Celsius, hotter than it was between 1850 and 1900, the pre-industrial era. And while there's no question that limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius is difficult, there's also no question that we have the technology needed to do it and that it is worth it. Atmospheric levels of greenhouse gases have increased almost 40% from pre-industrial levels of 280 to 380 parts per million as of 2011. Over the past 650,000 years, atmospheric levels of GHGs have remained within the range of 180 to 300 parts per million. The sustained increase is attributed to man-made emissions. From 1970 to 2004, GHG emissions increased by 70%. Present levels of emissions are simply not sustainable. The Potsdam Institute determined that the environment can manage up to 350 parts per million, a level that's already been exceeded. Even if emissions were reduced to the 2000-year levels and remained constant, the Earth would still have a warming trend of 1/10 of a degree Celsius every 10 years due to the slow feedback of the oceans. Possibly the largest contributor outside of the use of fossil fuels is ocean pollution. Each year, billions of pounds of trash and other pollutants enter the ocean. Some debris sink. Some is eaten by marine animals that mistake it for food, and some accumulates in ocean gyres. Other forms of pollution that impact the health of the ocean come from sources like oil spills or from the accumulation of many dispersed sources, such as fertilizer from our yards. Heavy metals and other contaminants can accumulate in seafood, making it harmful for humans to consume. Microplastics can be ingested by fish and other ocean species that filter out the food in their water. With more than 1/3 of the shellfish growing waters of the United States being adversely affected by coastal pollution, it's important for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to study the impacts of microplastics and harmful contaminants in our seafood. Our ocean isn't permanent. Our supply of food from the ocean isn't permanent. So we need to stop treating it like it is. Whole ecosystems are dying out because of how we treat them, and it's coming back to harm us. The second issue is subsidization. Most experts define fossil fuel subsidies as financial or tax support for those buying the fuel or the companies producing it. The IMF, or the International Monetary Fund, also includes the cost of damage fossil fuel burning causes to climate and health, which leads them to an estimate of $5.2 trillion of fossil fuel subsidies in 2017, or $10 million a minute. Ending the subsidies would cut global emissions by about a quarter and halve the number of early deaths from fossil fuel air pollution. Ending fossil fuel subsidies has long been seen as vital to tackling the climate emergency, with the G20 nations pledging in 2009 to phase them out, but the progress has been limited. In May, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres attacked subsidies, saying, "What we're doing is using taxpayers' money, which means our money, to boost hurricanes, spread droughts, melt glaciers, to bleach corals, in one word, to destroy the world." Although it's important to note that the IMF, IEA, and International Energy Agency, and OECD, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, do not define subsidies in the same way, and hence the estimated cost from subsidies vary significantly. The most important message is that the costs are high and the elimination of subsidies would have a net positive impact on the reduction of GHG emissions and air pollution. By artificially driving down the price of oil, coal, and gas, these subsidies encourage their consumption. Both the World Bank and the IMF have been advocating for ending subsidies across the globe, with the IMF claiming such an action would reduce carbon emissions by 20%. An economist at the IEA said that ending subsidies could bring the world halfway to avoiding climate disaster. There's also the issue of a lack of subsidies to alternative energies. Now, alternatives are by no means a cure-all, as we could see by last episode. However, a balance between fossil fuels and alternatives is important, but the government doesn't subsidize them equally, leading to alternatives being much more expensive. Electric cars and other means of transportation exist. However, the encouragement to consume fossil fuels is constantly being pushed in America. The use of fossil fuels is toxic to the world. These fossil fuel subsidies are returned to those providing it, but instead of being returned to the government, it's given to the politicians. It's a vicious cycle of give and receive, only this time, it threatens the lives of every human on this earth. So, what can we do to prevent this climate disaster that seems to be so impending? Well, like I said at the beginning, we still have time to change course. We need to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius at the maximum. And the world is already at 1 degree Celsius. So how can we slow this down? Well, last episode may have made it look like I just absolutely despise alternative energies, but I don't. What I believe is that we need to have a balance. Global net zero emissions is simply not possible. Because, as I said in last episode, they're simply not sustainable as a whole. We need non-renewable energies. We need non-renewable resources. But with a balance between fossil fuels and alternative energies, with fossil fuels being used a lot less and energy consumption being encouraged a lot less than it is right now, we can actually stop this. We can't put a halt to it within the year. We can't put a halt to it within the decade. But as time goes on and our technology increases, then we might have a chance. We need to get this done by 2040 at the latest. Any later than that, and I'm not sure that we can actually turn it around. So I need everyone here to make their mark, to stop consuming so much energy, to stop using the wrong resources, and instead turn towards more renewable energies for the consumer public, more renewable energies for those producing the energy, with fossil fuels being used at the bare minimum for what they need to be used for. Thank you all so much for watching. I know this episode was ridiculously short compared to other ones, but this was more an episode just talking about what the climate change issue is and nothing going too deep into everything else, because I talked a lot about that last week. Also, I didn't want to hammer you guys too much with content this week because, as you know, there should be an episode coming out tomorrow about the debates, which are tonight at 9 p.m., about 12 hours from when I'm recording this. That said, if it doesn't come out tomorrow on Wednesday, then it will come out on Thursday. So next week, we'll be talking about the election. We'll start off with the Electoral College, and then we'll talk about some different hot topics and things that revolve around this election in the second week of October. And the last 2 weeks of October will be dedicated to discussing purely the 2020 presidential election. Who's who? Who believes what? And just information about the election in general. Remember, you guys can find my social media accounts on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/Zach-Gunter, or you can email me at realitycheckpodcast2020@gmail.com. This is Zach Gunter, signing out. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.